Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm Trevor Sikkema. With me is Benjamin Solak. Ben just had a cookie, so he is rip-roaring and ready for this podcast. Am I wrong?
Little do you know, before yesterday's podcast, I had had two cookies.
Oh my goodness.
Whoa.
Now the people are just going to be disappointed.
So I'm getting married in January, for the listeners who don't know.
Mazel tov.
And very exciting. And we've been building out the registry and whatnot because my fiance has had a shower in the summer. And she was like, what do you want on the registry? And I was like, a cookie jar. And she was like, no, I mean like adult things that we need, like appliances and flatware. And I said, yeah, and also a cookie jar.
It's
been a dream of mine to have a cookie jar. Here's the thing about cookie jars that people don't realize, Trevor.
All right, let's go off the rails. Let's do it. First minute of the podcast, I'm here
for it.
Well,
no, don't worry. This is a very quick one.
Now we're talking cookie jars. Now we are talking pros and cons of cookie jars taking a jump to the next level. That's what we're here for.
The thing about cookie jars is that they're jars that have cookies inside of them. And that makes them perennially and woefully underrated.
Can you please do a long form piece called Contextualizing Cookie Jars?
Absolutely. And I'm just like, so what happens is you open it and there are cookies inside and you can eat them and they live in your house and the cookies are for you and nobody else can take them unless you invite them in your house.
It's just
going to
be
a bad idea.
It's going to be simple things like, all right, here's a graph to explain cookie jars. Are they good? And then it just like is it's one solid color and it's just like, yes, you know,
right, exactly. It's like, is it better? Like pie chart of houses that are good that don't have cookie jars in them. And it's just like that no and then that no but in yellow meme. Right,
right. Yeah. Surprisingly enough, we're not here to get into it about cookie jars. Although we could probably, knowing you and I, we could probably fill 20 minutes just talking about cookie jars.
About to say we're about to get a cookie jar question on Fan Friday.
Please, somebody ask us what kind of cookie jars are the best for Fan Friday. I see y'all. You're listening. Today we're actually here to talk about Week 3 of college football. Exciting couple of weeks that we've already had. Some nice matchups here coming up this Saturday. But even before this Saturday, we got to get into these Friday games. The 2-0 Mack Brown led champions,
what is up with this, man?
Of the Battle of the Carolinas, the North Carolina Tar Heels taking on Wake Forest on Friday. Kansas also plays Boston College. And then we got Mike Leach versus Dana Holgorsen on Friday night. Washington State goes to Houston.
Just a battle of weird uncles that your mom doesn't actually want you to hang out with who happen to coach football
teams. You ever see Dana Holgorsen's hair?
Have I ever seen? Yes, I've seen Dana Holgorsen's hair.
All right. Just so we're clear here.
We both cover the sport, Trevor. It's hard to cover the sport and not see Dana Holgorsen at least once.
I just don't know how much people care about other people's hair other than me, right?
Oh, come on. You know I have hair takes.
I know you do. I'm just asking. I'm excited to see Friday Night Mike Leach. I'm always excited to see Friday Night Mike Leach. Washington State ranked 20th this year. Don't have Gardner Minshew anymore, but I guess some ball players. We're going air raid versus air raid. What more could you want on Friday night? Crack open a White Claw? Little air raid versus air raid.
Sponsor
the podcast, you cowards.
Yeah, can't believe they're not. We have photos and everything.
It's true. Ben, is there any scouting things that you like about any of these Friday night games? I mean, I get A.J. Dillon runs for Boston College and they're playing Kansas, so he'll probably get like 250 yards, which will be fun to watch.
Yeah, you do have the matchup in Wake Forest against the Tar Heels. We had Edge Tamon Fox was our actually TN player of the week for the ACC.
Six tackles, indeed.
3 sacks.
Big shout out.
Forced fumble against Miami last week. He actually pairs with Jason Strobridge, who's their like big end type. They're at North Carolina. They're going to be going up against the Wake Forest offensive line, which has Justin Heron. Justin Heron being a interesting offensive tackle for the Demon Deacons. So that's going to be, I think, the biggest one-on-one scouting matchup that's of interest here. I also don't think the Tar Heels are actually that good, but here they are. They're 3-point dogs to Wake Forest. You know, it's very it's tough to figure out what we have from this Mack Brown program. Obviously, watching the freshman sling the pill around a little bit is fun. So yeah, it'd be nice to get UNC on a national stage. I haven't like sat down and really watched one of their games hard along all the way through. Had the opportunity to do that on Friday night, so that's what I'm going to be paying attention to mostly on Friday. Also, like if you don't get a chance to watch much Washington State, 9 Eastern is like one of the earliest kickoffs they're ever going to have. So I would recommend giving
true.
It a shot. If
Very can. True. Also, they get to go against Derek King, who.
And Marquise Stevenson.
Is one of the most fun players in all of college football. Derek King is Houston quarterback. Mm-hmm. If you missed the Oklahoma game in week one, that's who Oklahoma played against. And he's balling, man. I love watching him. So any kind of Friday night entertainment that involves Derek King and Mike Leach, woohoo, sign me up. I'm about it. Saturday, the Nooners are as followed. Georgia is going to beat the absolute pants out of Arkansas State. Ohio State going to beat the absolute pants off of Indiana. Maryland, currently the number one offense in the continental United States.
Okay, so Hawaii's better? Is that what you're telling me?
You know.
Do you, see, was
what,
really,
you see what happened there?
Really well done.
See what happened there?
I almost was like, wow, they're the best in the country.
And see what happened the there?
States. Yeah, it was clever.
I'm not going to go against my boy Cole McDonald like that. Ben, are there any Nooners as we're looking for them? There's a couple of other ones, but those are the big ranked teams they're playing. Penn State also plays Pittsburgh. Which Nooner are you going to be watching?
Yeah, which I love how, you know, we snuck it in there that Maryland is a ranked team, like, you know, out there playing ranked games. We stand Mike Locksley unconditionally and the very athletic, very fast Maryland offense. I mean, Penn State is the most interesting one to me, to be honest. We have a draft-eligible receiver in KJ Hamler.
Hail the Pitt!
Going up against a draft-eligible corner in Damar Hamlin for the Panthers. Yes, indeed, hail to Pitt. My sister is a Pitt alum. Mm. My father grew up near Penn State. This would matter.
Big shout out.
Yeah, this would matter. Anyway, so Dane Jackson against KJ Hamler is an interesting matter. One. I don't know what you're saying right now. You're muttering something on the other side.
No, you said this wouldn't matter, and I was just laughing at you saying this wouldn't matter.
Yes, I'm just like, I don't really care. Oh, obviously, we have the Penn State defense is rife with draft-eligible talent. We have John Reed. We have Yitzhak Gross Matos. We have interesting players there in that regard. So this, I think, is the most interesting game. I don't anticipate it being super competitive, just as I don't anticipate most of the games involving Power 5 conferences to be super competitive. Noon slate is not super exciting. This entire week actually is a bit sleepy, if we're being honest.
Hold on, I wanted to say, I wanted to make sure before we got off Penn State, the Gross Matos has already got 3 sacks, 3 tackles for losses here. So, look, man.
Yeah.
Kid's good.
He's a disruptive player.
Kid can play some football. Look, the game that I'm going to be watching, you know, I'll tune in to watch Ohio State score their first 21 points within the first, you know, 10 minutes of actual game time. But then I'm going to switch it over and mainly be watching Maryland, because I am such a big Anthony McFarland fan, their running back. He is electric. He's one of the best players in the country. He is a draft-eligible running back. He's a redshirt sophomore. He's fantastic. Like I said, he is the lead dog in the number one offense in the country. And I don't think anybody thought that Maryland was going to be the number one offense in the country. They got some good defensive players as well. Antoine Brooks is the main guy that I'm going to be watching for, just because he's got a lot of intrigue as a safety linebacker hybrid. He's kind of, a lot of times these guys are in between because you don't know what to do with their weight. I think that Antoine Brooks is a really big dude. So he's a guy who plays with a lot of momentum. Those are two players that I'm definitely going to be watching for. But Anthony McFarland, I called him earlier this year the next Madden cheat code, and that's what I think he is. When this kid puts his foot in the ground, he is just gone. And there are a couple plays. I get it. You're watching the Ohio State game last year, and it was a blown contain by Damon Arnette on one of them, and then it was just simply a missed tackle that allowed Anthony McFarland to get to the edge and score another big touchdown. But it's not just that game. Like, this guy was a potential home run threat every time he touched the football. And even last year as a redshirt freshman, he was showing you things that you really liked out of zone blocking schemes. And I love that when you can get these guys who have a ton of explosive athleticism, who really know how to read and feel comfortable running out of zone blocking. When the whole line's moving across one way or the other, left or right, and you know how to kind of diagnose where something's going to be, where the hole's going to open up, be able to put that foot in the ground and just go north to south. Those are the kinds of running backs that I love, because I think it's really translatable to the next level, especially where we're seeing a lot of the running game going, playing out of 11 and 12 personnel with multiple tight ends in the offense, seeing more heavy play action. using offensive lines to get around and move the pocket a little bit. I think a running back like Anthony McFarland could complement what NFL offenses are starting to do really, really well. And so that's where my eyes are absolutely going to be in these Nooner games, because I want to get as much scouting as of him as I possibly can. I've been able to get glimpses of him so far through these 2 weeks, but I'm going to really sit down and watch Anthony McFarland in this one.
Don't have to tell me twice. Young man's got 7 touchdowns in 8 quarters.
No, I'm going to tell you twice. I'm going to watch Anthony McFarland in this one. There, I told you twice.
Yeah. Dude, the afternoon slate, the 3 p.m. slate, is the actual interesting games of this weekend. Even if we can even call them that. We do not have a ranked team
playing another ranked team
yeah. in this week, which is booty. But we have some actual interesting matchups. USC-BYU. Which should not have like been an interesting matchup. Obviously, USC, they have the talented young freshman backup, Keaton Slovis, which is a real
name, I promise you,
Keaton Slovis is an actual person.
What a quarterback name.
Who doesn't live in Poland. He lives in California.
Hey, big shout out Poland, though.
Yeah, big ups Poland.
Big ups Poland. Big ups pierogies, you know?
Okay. He was good
Big ups to Kielbasa, you know, while we're at it.
He was good against Stanford in week 2.
Hey, big up sauerkraut, now that we're thinking about it.
Trevor.
Oh, sorry. Is that too much?
I'm just wondering if you had any more food you wanted to shout out before we moved on.
Big ups cookies. There you go. All right, keep going.
Yeah, okay, I'll always make time for that. So Keenan Slovis is strong against Stanford. Now he's up against a BYU defense that can run around, that can hit. BYU's got a strong defensive line. Ask me how many Kalfusis are playing on the BYU defense.
How many Kalfusis are playing on the BYU defense?
I'm going to let you know once the depth chart stops loading, okay?
Oh, did you not think that I was going to ask it that quick?
One.
I'm quick with my Kalfusis.
Two. Three.
There's no way. Kalfusis. There's no way. There's four. There's no. I would put my foot down if there was four.
That's enough. Well, the thing is, like, because of the Latter-day Saints missions that often happen for players at BYU and Utah, you really like could have four over the span of 6 years. It's just like, get the timing right, they'd all be there. But there's a true sophomore in Devin Kalfusi, there's a redshirt freshman in Jackson Kalfusi, and a redshirt junior in Isaiah Kalfusi, and they're all there playing a little ball, man. Tackle by Kalfusi, assisted by Kalfusi, fumble forced by Kalfusi, recovered by Kalfusi. Anyway, USC BYU is gonna, I think, be close. I think it's gonna be good.
It'll be a fun game.
As you said, the Mormon Manziel in last podcast, quarterback Zach Wilson, sophomore, is a lot of fun to watch. Arizona State, Michigan State. Michigan State's defense has been very strong.
Wait, hold on. On USC side, Tyler Vaughns, wide receiver, balled out last game. Amon-Ra St. Brown, balled out last
Isn't
game.
Isn't he a true sophomore, Amon-Ra?
Oh yeah, he is. You're right.
But Michael Pittman.
They got Michael Pittman Jr. though. Stephen Carr flashed a little bit, the running back. I still need him to do better, man. Maybe I'm not talking about him doing better because he's averaging 5.5 yards a carry, and I know he was averaging more than that in the last game, too. They're just not giving him the ball a ton. He's the second running back.
The primary back there is Malapai.
Yeah, so they're giving it to Malapai a lot, and I'm like, come on, give Stephen Carr the ball. He's your more dynamic back.
A bigger percent, pie of the receiving touches, which is interesting. But either way, it's worth noting. Like, Malapai isn't bad. It just seems like Carr is more natural talent. Of course, back from injury, he may not still be at 100% in terms of athleticism. So, you know, we'll see. Yeah, USC's got a lot of younger guys who are like Jay Tufele, Pelegaia Toete, the linebacker.
I'll
learn how to pronounce his name when he's eligible.
You're doing terrific.
Marlon Tuipulotu, they've got some like really interesting defensive guys who are just young, and so it's going to take time before this like an eligible recruiting class here. But regardless, right, that's BYU USC. Arizona State, Michigan State is going to be interesting. Michigan State's defense is oppressive, but also like Michigan
Kenny
State,
Willekes, very, man.
Yeah, dude,
holy
back
cow! This guy, I am willing to admit, he is way more effective than I thought he was going
to
be.
Willing to admit Willekes is more effective.
Willekes is more effective than I thought that he was going to be. I thought he was going to get like lost in the shuffle, not really know where to play him in terms of a 4-3 end or a 3-4 end. I didn't think he had a ton of weight on him. I thought he was going to get bullied a little bit. Nah, man. He's natural. He's out here splitting doubles. He's getting in the backfield. He's making a difference. Kenny Willekes is having a hell of a start to this year for Michigan State. Big ups.
No, I fully agree with you. And it's sad because what's tricky for me with Michigan State is this.
Yes.
They really haven't played anybody yet. It's been Tulsa and Western Michigan. They poured some points on Western Michigan. Western Michigan's going to be a bad football team this year. Now it's against Arizona State. Arizona State also not going to be a good football team this year, but I think they're going to be able to generate at least more pressure on Brian Lewerke, potentially get him into a situation making mistakes. Obviously, this was a tight game last year as well. There's not a ton of defensive talent for Arizona State outside of Chase Lucas, the corner, and then Tyler Johnson, the young rusher. But besides that, you have the true sophomore Merlin Robinson, the middle linebacker. But the defense is very weak there. If they're going to win it, it's going to be in a point game. It's going to be in a high scoring one where they do have the players and like Brandon Ayuk and Eno Benjamin to actually put some points on the board. Arizona State can make it interesting. I'd love to see Arizona State make it interesting. I'm not going to put the house on it, but it would be nice. And I think it's important that the Spartans actually get a legit test so we can see what they are right now. Right now, they're a top 20 team by default of people knowing their name. But this team put up, but Arizona State put up 19 points against Sacramento State. So I'm not really sold that they're going to, you know, make this a competitive game. Last one that really matters is Iowa versus Iowa State, which is it's a game that has a name. What's the name for Iowa State?
The Iowa State game? Hold on. Let me look. You're supposed to fill the dead time.
Cy-Hawk. The Cy-Hawk.
Oh, yeah. It's the Cy-Hawk Trophy.
Yes, the Cy-Hawk Trophy. There we go. Named after Cy the Cardinal.
Cyclones.
And the Hawk.
And the Hawks.
Yeah, I think that's really cute.
Why is this not the Battle of Corn?
Because it's named after Cy.
No. I don't care. Why is this not the Battle of Corn?
No, that's lame.
Winner gets all the corn. The losing school can't grow corn.
Not allowed
for the rest
to grow
of the year.
For a whole year.
Whole year. Well, not only that, they can't eat corn.
Right.
Loser can't eat corn for the whole year. Battle of Corn. Now I'm watching. Now I'm watching. Not only am I watching, I'm inviting my friends over. I'm cracking some cold ones. We got nachos. The wings are on the way. We're watching the Battle of Corn.
All right, Trevor. I'll do my best to set that up for you.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
What I do know is this.
Per my last email.
Gets taken to overtime by Northern Iowa. We haven't seen them in 14 days. What the heck is this football team? This is a team that people had picked as potential winner for the Big Ten West. They have one of the most talented quarterbacks they've had there under Matt Campbell and Brock Purdy. But the entire offense had to retool. And I mean the entire offense had to retool. And they do not have the offensive firepower that they had. But obviously it was Hakeem Butler and David Montgomery there. Multiple new starters on the offensive line. It ain't pretty. And so they've really got to be able to step up the offensive side of the game. That Iowa defense is mighty tough. But we know Iowa State, Iowa's going to be a competitive game. So this is probably where I'm going to turn my scouting eye to in the afternoon games. But this is the best slate that we've got. This is the best time frame that we've got. And it's USC, BYU, Iowa State, Iowa, and Arizona State, Michigan State. It is not a competitive weekend.
Most expensive ticket in college football this week. Battle Corn.
Cy-Hawk Bowl.
I don't know what that is. The low ticket right now is $222 to watch one of these schools not be able to eat corn for an entire year.
Wow.
I'd pay it.
Iowa produced the most corn in the United States in 2016.
What?
Over 2 billion bushels.
Do you think that I just make crap up?
So, Trevor, yes. Everyone does.
Well,
we all do.
Well, you're
wrong.
Most of the time, you're probably right. But if there's anything that I know, it's corn.
Okay.
Don't ask me why.
Because
I won't have a reason.
But apparently you know corn, and you know Iowa, and you know what the Iowa-Iowa State game should be named.
Battle
of Corn.
Battle of Corn. Alabama.
Not even the corn off. Okay, the corn.
All right, I might have to reconsider here, thanks. Alabama. travels. Alabama travels to South Carolina in a battle that has nothing.
We gotta have Rob make a graphic for the corn dog. Okay.
Alabama plays South Carolina in a battle that has nothing to do with corn. I'm just interested to see how South Carolina bounces back from. Hold on, I'm squinting here. Losing to North Carolina and then beating Charleston Southern by 62 points.
Yeah.
Where is the middle ground?
Helinski looks good. Helinski had 2 touchdowns on 30 passes, completed about 80% of his balls. Helinski looked all right for them.
Brian Edwards is balling out, man.
Good runner. They're going to lose to Alabama, but let's see what Helinski's got, shall we?
Right. No, I'm all for it. There's no stark contrast like going from playing Charleston Southern at home to then inviting the Alabama Crimson Tide to town. I think that's...
Started thinking about the corn off again.
That's not really great. Stanford also plays UCF. I'm just intrigued.
Oh, true.
I'm just super intrigued by this game. Because Costello's going to be back, correct, for Stanford?
We hope so.
Yeah, so
that's the belief. Obviously, no Walker Little. But the hope, right. the expectation, I think, is that Costello will be able to return. Yeah. I'll double check on that right now.
So I think that they're going to have their starting quarterback back for them, and they're traveling to UCF. And at this point, I just want to see UCF play real football teams. And this is advantage UCF for me, because I don't think that Stanford plays a style of football that's going to be anywhere near capable of keeping up with the points that UCF can produce. But I'm still interested to see this matchup. I'm going to keep one eye on it. I'll probably have the third TV on this game. So, yeah.
Expected to return.
Okay. All right. Expected to return. I'll take that. I think that it's gonna happen. Is South Florida actually going to beat South Carolina State? Oh, my God. Is that who they're playing? It's 6 p.m.? If Charlie Strong loses this game, does he get fired?
Probably not. What's the spread?
I have no idea, but I know you can get into Raymond James for $8 at 6 p.m. to see South Florida take on South Carolina State.
Raymond James. Do they play all their games at Raymond James?
They do play all their games at Raymond James, yep.
Didn't know that.
Yep.
Imagine, that's got to be weird, though. It's like you'll never sell out.
Never. Right? Nope. Ever.
That kind of sucks a little bit.
Yep. Definitely does. Definitely does.
All right.
The ranked teams that we have playing at 7 o'clock and beyond, Auburn plays against Kent State. Not going to care about that one. Florida plays against Kentucky. I will deeply care about that one. Texas A&M plays
Kerry
against.
Wilson's out, right?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, that's boring.
Which sucks. He was really bringing some cool life to that offense, and they had a three-headed monster at running back. That was going to be a fun game, I thought. So now without Wilson, I'm not even sure what we're going to get from Kentucky. Maybe we'll keep it interesting. It's at Kentucky this year. Obviously, Kentucky beat Florida at Florida last year, so there's a lot riding on this one. The guys who had to watch Kentucky really celebrate on Florida's field aren't going to be too happy about that, but Kentucky lost a lot of players. I think they lost 6 defensive backs. They lost Josh Allen, obviously, as their edge presence, and then on offense, they lost Benny Snell. So, very different Kentucky team this year, even from the one that beat Florida last year, so we'll have to see how that goes, but it's in Kentucky this year. So, if they had Wilson, it would have been very interesting. Not really so much anymore. We talked about it yesterday on the podcast. I'm really looking forward to watching Jabari Zuniga, see if he could continue the tear that he's been on. No CJ Henderson this week, or at least he's doubtful at this point.
Yeah, that's what
I saw. He left last game and was kind of limping off the field, so I don't think he's going to play. I really don't. Clemson plays against Syracuse. That's not bad. You got Syracuse DNs going up against Clemson.
I mean, like, Syracuse has played them tight for the past couple years.
Yeah,
so people are interested.
And guess where it is? Oh, the Carrier Dome. Let's go.
You know, that's fun. I think last time Clemson was at the Carrier Dome, Syracuse won, right?
Did they win?
Carrier Dome.
I know they give them fits, but did they win the last time?
Syracuse shocks Clemson in the Dome. Yeah, that was Kelly Bryant.
Oh, yeah, that was Kelly Bryant. You're right.
Yeah, you're right. They were number 2. They were undefeated. Yeah.
It was
after Pitt had beat them previously in 2016. Anyway, that's the selling point for that game. But Syracuse clearly is not what they were with Dungy. You know, they're clearly taking some steps back. They've still got the pass rush. They've got a decent secondary. But the defense has really struggled in the totality. And then the offense doesn't score nearly as much as with Tommy DeVito under center. DeVito is a likable player, but it's just not not the same teeth as Syracuse has had the past couple seasons.
You get normal hours Cole McDonald this week as Hawaii travels to Washington at 7:30.
Right. You're literally, by listening to this podcast, you're contractually obligated to watch Cole McDonald
you
if he kicks off at not 11:59.
I mean, you also have to watch Cole McDonald when he kicks off at 11:59. But
that's a good point.
Also, Hawaii versus Washington. Very interested in that game. Potentially a lot of offense going on. Can Washington, which I think has been more offensive in the past, keep up with Hawaii? Because that's the big thing. You know, it's just a matter of keeping up with Hawaii. Do you think Washington can do it?
I think Washington will be able to stop Hawaii. I think not every drive all the time, but
enough.
Washington has the secondary talent and has the strong execution of their cover three and their middle of the field close stops, their single high match and everything that they like to run. They should be able to hang with the Hawaii run and shoot relatively well. In terms of, again, you don't really stop that sort of an offense because eventually they're going to get a guy out of position. They're going to get a house call. That's just the way it goes. But you stop enough drives. You obviously have a ton of drives in a game where you're playing against Hawaii, and their defense is abysmal. So I do think it'll be a lot of points, but I do think Washington will be able to, you know, slow things down. I mean, it's a 21-point spread in favor of Washington right now.
Man, that seems way high.
I mean, Hawaii has now covered two spreads. Hawaii's 2-0 against the spread right now. I would know because I bet against them both times.
Sheesh. I'd be in Hawaii. I know this is not a betting.
Right.
I know we're saving our bets for tomorrow, but 21? I'm getting Cole McDonald 21 points? Even in garbage time.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah, I'm taking that bad boy.
I'll be at TCU Purdue this weekend.
Nice. That's cool. That's a good game.
It's a low-key interesting game.
Yeah.
Right?
A little Jalen Reagor action.
Right, exactly. I get Jalen Reagor and Rondale Moore, two of the most electric playmakers in all of college football. Rondale Moore, obviously not eligible, but I would die on my sword right now to draft Rondale Moore.
He is special, man. He's really special.
If you asked me to spend my first-round pick next year to ensure that my first-round pick – or spend my first-round pick this year to ensure my first-round pick next year is Rondale Moore, I'd, like, consider it. I mean, he's amazing.
What if the Miami Dolphins, in their tanking quest, come away with – what if they come away with Tua, Jerry Jeudy, Jalen Reagor, and then next year they come away with Rondale Moore
Either every single throw is either going to be 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage or 40 yards beyond the line of scrimmage.
Wow. This
just is bubble screens and nines. Any questions?
That's what I'm here for.
Absolutely. Let's do it. And then Purdue.
And Waddle, they get with the other first-round pick.
And Jalen Waddle, right. Obviously, Elijah Sindelar broke some records for Purdue against Vanderbilt. They poured on a ton of points. He looked more consistent than he did against Nevada. We'll have to see what he can do against a TCU defense that knows how to blitz you. They know how to trap you in coverages. Purdue, you get also now Marcus Bailey, who I thought was tremendous against an SEC program in Vanderbilt.
Big Marcus Bailey fans here on the podcast.
SEC program in Vanderbilt. Not the greatest offensive line, but that's a heavy box, sort of power running style of a program. Now, all of a sudden, you go against TCU, which TCU is going to give you spread out looks. And in those situations, the Boilermakers flex Bailey out. They'll put him over number two. They'll put him over number three. Different look for Bailey to have to deal with and a different caliber of athletes. I mean, he has not played many Texas athletes in his life. And so it's going to be really fun to check the speed on a guy who right now, one of his biggest question marks is his explosiveness. So big game for Bailey, back-to-back weeks, another big host for Purdue. Again, Purdue's like bringing in Vanderbilt, bringing in TCU. I mean, I love that scheduling. That's what makes me happy. You get good games like this. Line has flown to TCU, by the way. Opened at -2. It was -2 Purdue, and Purdue's already +1. So it's a 3-point swing immediately on this line.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be a really, really interesting game. I'm excited to be there. It's going to be late. I'm not going to get home until late, but it's going to be worth it.
The other games in the later cap of the week, or the other late games are not very good, but Oklahoma versus UCLA, I think Oklahoma's only favored by 22 points. I'd be super tempted to hammer Oklahoma.
It's what Bossman JC said.
Yeah, I mean, UCLA's not good.
Yeah.
So,
poor Chip Kelly. I feel so bad for him. Not get that out of here. DeSean Jackson forever.
This is it. Wow. Well, hold on now. I was with you. I was with you until the DeSean Jackson
it's
praise.
It's not my fault y'all didn't use him right. Hey, get out of here.
You are totally right. I was
when
somebody told me that DeSean scored both his touchdowns from the slot, I literally flipped the entire press box over Hulk style when I heard that, because I was screaming for the Bucks to use DeSean Jackson in slot variations, and they wouldn't do it.
Imagine.
Just wouldn't do it. Just wouldn't
imagine
do it.
Imagine making sure DeSean Jackson is getting pressed off the line of scrimmage by leaving him outside. Could not. That'd be me.
Would a drag route kill you, Dirk? Would it kill you to run a drag route with DeSean? Anyways. Speaking of NFL, we got NFL coming at you tomorrow. Ben and I are going to go through every single game in next week's NFL slate. Oh, the Buccaneers are actually the first team that we're going to pick because they are playing on Thursday night in Carolina. I will be at that game. We're going to go through that one, the rest of the Sunday matchups, and the Monday night game as well. We're going to be telling you guys what the spreads are. We're going to be picking our winners and losers. We're going to be keeping track of them. And then at the end of the year, we're going to have to do something for whoever wins this record book thing. Because I've won the last 2 years. Ben, you got to get a little redemption for the other side of the podcast. Then get into a bunch of college football and NFL games this weekend. Until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.